All right. Thank you, Jesus. Ruad, next time I want to see you lift this thing in worship, bro. And by the Spirit, not by might. Yeah, Benjamin is one of our heroes in the faith. And we get to share in some of his testimony this morning. And it's going to be good. I'm just going to pray for you. Yeah, thank you for this man, Lord. And we just pray that, yeah, let his light shine through this testimony. And it's the light of Christ in him.
All right. Hello, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Benjamin. And I'm 22 years old, so I'm nice and young. And even though I am very young, I'm still a baby, bro. I had the privilege to live out this very song, where I was in a place where I was very much in the grave, or about to be, as you will see. And the Lord called me out of that place. And so I'm going to be sharing my story, but it's his story more than anything. It's a story of his mercy and his faithfulness and his goodness in my life, even though I don't really deserve it. And so, yeah, this all started back in 2022. I was doing Bible school called TMT with Noah and Mike and Carlies, the people on band. So they were my friends. We were doing Bible school. We're doing amazing things for the Lord. We were running hard. I was building friendships. So in 2022, it was a really good year for me. Yeah, like I look back and I'm like, that was a year where the Lord was like doing a lot. It was vibes. I loved it. And then on November 8th, a month before I turned 19, I was diagnosed with leukemia, blood cancer. And by the time I went to the doctor, he said if I didn't get treatment, I would be dead within the month. And so very quickly, my life went from amazing, like this is awesome, this is peak, to, oh shucks, I'm now fighting for my life in my first year out of high school. What the heck? And this has been a three-year journey. And a few weeks ago in April, I finished my chemotherapy treatment. Yeah, thank you. So it's been 3 years and 4 months, this journey. So it's been very long. And it has by far been the greatest trial that I've had to face in my life. And unfortunately, it will probably not be the last trial I face. And it probably won't even be the worst I end up facing in this life. Because life is full of trials. If you read what Jesus says, he often says, like, we walk a narrow, difficult path. Being a Christian isn't all sunshine and rainbows, although we do have some sun now, which is nice. And so in this life, we're going to face trials, and we're going to face long trials, hard trials. And I want to just share how the Lord was able to carry me through this three-year journey. And it all started in the beginning in how the Lord prepared me for the trial. And so, like I said, I was 18. I'm in a Bible school. It was really good. And it was around October. So in this year, the Lord has been speaking to me and working on my character, building friendships, and really family with people, which is something I had for the first time in a while. And after that year's 412 conference, this is now October, we went on our last outreach of the year. So we went all the way up to Bethlehem, Clarence area. And it was there that I started to feel a bit sick. And it started out as like just a light thumping in the head. So you know when you run really hard and then you get like, feels like your heartbeat is in your cup and you're like, doo, 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 doo. There, it was that. Like that's literally how it started out. And normally you only get that when you do like some serious exercise. But there was a time where there was like a tower, there was a big dam right where we were staying. We were like, now we're going to swim to this tower. I'm going to jump off the side because why not? And as we're swimming there, it wasn't far. It was like maybe 50 meters maximum to swim. By the time I get there, I'm finished. And normally I was quite a fit person. I would say I'm fit. And so I was quite surprised. I was like, I'm quite shocked that that took so much out of me. But, you know, I was just like, nah, I just need to do more swimming training. This isn't that deep. So I was like, I didn't really think about it. And also, one thing about me, when I'm on outreach, all my problems go to the back seat, and we will deal with them when I'm done on outreach. So whilst all these looking back signs of that something was very wrong was happening, I'm like, now, deal with it later. It's not for now. And so I wasn't really thinking about my health all that often, even though I probably should have. And so I packed all these thoughts. I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I'll deal with it. There's only 2 weeks. Can't be that serious. It was. But then when I really realized, okay, something's actually wrong with me, we were in Clarence, and we were going to do a hike, like a 9-kilometer hike. Now, hiking, I'm fit. I'm good at hiking. I love hiking. It's my thing. And so I'm like, now we're going to hike. It's going to be amazing. Easy peasy. One hill, and I was dead. Baby hill, like 800 meters into this hike, and I'm like on the floor gasping. My head is thumping like crazy. And now I'm like, okay, something's definitely wrong. And so the rest of the team, they're like, no, it's fine. We just walked straight from my house. We'll finish the hike, and you can walk back by yourself. It wasn't that far, so it wasn't as mean as it sounds. And so now I'm walking back, and now I'm talking to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, what's happening? This is weird. Like, I haven't had any major sickness or things in my life, never broken a bone or anything, so I've been very healthy. And so I'm like thinking about this. I'm like, Lord, what's happening? Yada yada. And then as I'm walking and talking, this random like thought comes out of left field. What if I have cancer? Very random. And I remember I stopped and I was like, that's a bit dramatic. Surely not. But just in case, Lord, your will be done. And I moved on with my day. And from that moment, I felt like deep in my spirit, I knew it was coming. I denied it very much in my mental space, but deep down, I knew that something was that as serious as cancer was potentially wrong with me. And from that moment, the Lord took me on what I call my boot camp, where the Lord just started speaking very clearly and very much started dealing with things in my heart that ultimately prepared me for the trial I was about to face. And so on this outreach, we're doing a lot of personal ministry, which is when you basically just get around a person and you just spend like an hour praying and giving prophetic words over them and just speaking and encouraging them in the Lord. And in our team, we were about 10 students. We did it on each other throughout. And when it came to my turn, every single prophetic word was basically the same. And it basically amounted to, the next season is going to be really, really difficult. But you've got this because the Lord is with you and the Lord has prepared you for this. And now at this point, I'm thinking like I'm going to do a second year of this Bible school. So I'm like, damn, what are these first year students going to do to me that this is going to be so hard? And like it didn't, like the dots were not connecting at this point about what was coming. Because like I said, I wasn't thinking about this too much. I was back seating everything. But and like as I'm now meditating on these words, I'm like, okay, next season's going to be hard. And there was, I think this was one of the scriptures I was given, was Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the Lord, like, honestly, sometimes I feel like the Lord does a lot of background work. Like, because it didn't feel in the moment like I was like learning this thing. But a week later, when I'm sitting in front of a doctor and he's telling me, you have leukemia, you now have to go through 3 years of chemotherapy, your whole life is going to fundamentally change from this point. I remember as this doctor's telling us this, both our parents are sitting there and they're crying their eyes out because now their son is now basically being told there's a very good chance he could die. And I was at so much peace. I was there in my pajamas, pantofles, laid back as ever. And I was, like, unfazed by this. If anything, I was just curious. I was like, okay, so what does chemo look like? Where am I going to do this? What's going to happen? Do I get radiation? What's radiation? Who knows? And I just was not fazed by this in the slightest. I had so much peace at being told that, like, I could die. But I was like, nah, man, but, like, the Lord is with me. Cancer? Stuff that. I got Jesus on my side. Like, what do you mean? And it's like, through all these prophetic words, and there were a lot of prophetic gifts as well as given in this time. I just had such a sense that the Lord is with me in this journey. And I'm like, if I've got God on my side, who can stand against me? My own body certainly can't, because we're made of dust. So, like, and it was such a, again, like a background work almost, where it wasn't on the forefront of my mind of these things. But the Lord just reiterated again and again in this like week leading up, that he's like, I'm with you. No matter what happens, no matter how deep the pits get, the Lord is with me. And that is such an encouragement. And I carried that with me the whole way through my journey. Every time I was like really just not in a good place, like throwing up a lot, or just had insomnia for 3 days, twice. Like there was a lot of times where I was just like physically broken. But then I'd be like, no, but the Lord's with me. And yes, this moment sucks right now, but the Lord's with me. Like, I'm fine. And the way the Lord kept reminding me of this, the Lord has a sense of humor. If you haven't figured this out, I really hope he shows you, because he can be quite funny. It's very embarrassing, but it's fine, I'll share. There was a point where I had quite severe diarrhea, because this is obviously there's a lot of side effects. And I'd like, amen. And at like 2 a.m. one time, I was, wasn't going well for me. I'd lost a lot of fluids, and so my mom was like, now we've got to get you to the hospital. This is getting quite serious. So they zipped me at the hospital. This is like maybe 4 months in. So now, at this point, you're kind of used to like situations like this where it's like, oh, it's getting really bad again. And you kind of just like, oh, Lord, just make it go quick or whatever. Like, just let it be over and done with. And so we race to the hospital. And like, as I get there, the nurse is like, yo. Wait, I'm telling the story wrong, but it's fine. The nurse is like, yo, because you have severe diarrhea, we're going to pop a nappy on you. Now, mind you, I'm 19 at this point, so very humbling to be popped in a diaper. But they popped this diaper on me, yeah? And as soon as they do, I remembered a picture, a prophetic drawing that my friend had given me a year before. So this friend of ours, he has a gift where he'll ask for a prophetic word, he'll get it in a dream, and then he'll draw it like exactly as he sees it. And I remember he gave me a picture, and it was me as a baby with a diaper on walking to the Lord. And I remember in the moment asking him, why did you draw the diaper so big? Like, this thing was coming, like, up to the hips here. And I remember looking at this photo, and I was like, what is up with this diaper, bro? And he's like, I don't know. That's just how I saw it. End of. And now, this was, like, in the dream. So now, a year later, I'm in hospital. The diaper they put on is the exact same diaper that was in that drawing. And that image came into my mind. And even though I am, like, physically exhausted, I just start laughing. Because I'm like, Lord, you sly dog. You knew this was coming, didn't you? And I heard him. He's like, yeah, you see what I did there? And I was like, ah. And so I was in the pits. But at this point, the Lord brought me so much joy because he knew. Like, this thing didn't take the Lord by surprise. It's not like he was like, oh, my son, oh, you have cancer now. Whoa, that wasn't expected. No, he knew. A year in advance, even. And there were so many prophetic words. Like, oh, there were so many prophetic words. I could spend an hour preaching on just that. Of words that he'd given me like way earlier in the year that applied so directly to the season I was going through, the season of real suffering a lot of the time and just not fun. And the Lord would just remind me of those. And I'm like, okay, the Lord is with me. There's that scripture in Matthew 28, verse 20. End of his life, he gives the Great Commission and Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And I can tell you, even when it really doesn't feel like Jesus is with you, he's there. And he's always there to encourage. And he's always there to love. And there was, again, so many moments where the Lord was with me, even though it was honestly the worst time of my life. Even in times when I really was upset at God. There was a time when I was in like severe pain with like my back and I didn't sleep for 3 days. And for those 3 nights, at like every time at like 1 a.m, like you're just lying there in pain. My poor sister just also couldn't sleep because I was groaning so much. And even in that place, I'm now like just angry at God. And I'm like, Lord, why are you doing this? Like, yes, I have cancer, but like, do you really have to give me back pain as well? Like, this seems a bit unfair. And I was real with the Lord. And at that place, 1 a.m., the Lord is there and he just reminds me and he gives me like a song or a scripture. And then I'm like, okay, Lord. Yes, my situation very much sucks, but you've been so faithful throughout. How can I not praise you? How can I not, even in this place of extreme pain, sing worship unto you? And I remember I was at like one, it was one in the morning, and I was singing, I think it was that song, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. And I was singing that to the Lord at 1 a.m., crying my eyes out as well at this point, from pain and also just like, yo, the Lord is with me. Like, how can I not praise him? Even though it's like, yeah, my situation didn't call for it. And so that was, oh, like, even just thinking about it, it shocks me how much the Lord was with me. And even in situations where you maybe don't have warning about the trial, because I was blessed, the Lord gave me a bit of warning, so I was expecting a hard season. But often hard seasons fall on us out of nowhere. Even in then, the Lord isn't caught by surprise by these things. And he's there with us. And even in times afterwards where the extra pain came and kind of extra hard seasons came, the Lord was still there. And I'm reminded of the psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my God is with me. And all I can say is when you read that scripture, know that it's true. That what he says is what he means. And he lives up to his word. Your mouth really goes dry when you preach. Damn. And so that was the first big lesson that the Lord taught me. And one of the big ways that he carried me through this time was through just this deep understanding of that the Lord is always with me. And then the second truth that the Lord taught me at the end of my outreach, so again, part of my boot camp, was unfortunately in the context of a great tragedy. So it was the last day of outreach. It was a Friday. We were going to drive from Bethlehem to the Free State, to Andy's farm, actually, the Slabbert's farm. We were going to stay with his parents for the weekend because his younger brother was our outreach leader. We were going to stay there for the weekend and then get back to Wellington on the Monday. And it was Friday evening, and I start to see in my WhatsApp status one of the youthies in George, because I was in George before I went to Wellington in TMT. So all my friends were there. And one of the youthies is missing. Like, we got to start praying. And like 2 hours later, there was something involving water. Can't find him. Please pray. And it was about 8 o'clock on that evening. My mum phones me. And it was a youthie called Casey. They were on a school trip to like a dam. Oh, I'm actually going to cry in my days. And there was like a wind. And he went under the water and didn't come back up. And the police had been searching. They'd sent scuba teams, and they hadn't found him. And so he was presumed dead. And they only found his body 2-3 days later. I've actually rarely shared this part. And just like that, this young man who loved the Lord, who was so funny and so kind, and even though I didn't know him super well, he joined like a few months maybe before I left for TMT. So I didn't know him super well, but like I'd spent time with him, and every holiday like he was there in our friend group. Just like that, he's gone. And luckily he was saved, so he's with Jesus now in heaven, and that brings me great comfort, but his life is over. And he had such dreams for the Lord, he had such plans for his life, just like that, gone. And this really hit me, because he was 18, so he was the same age as me. And through this tragedy, the Lord really started asking me questions. And the question he asked me is, what if I were to die tomorrow? Now, again, at this point, I'm not super clicking on what's happening with my health. So Little did I know that a week later I'd be facing this very question in a very real way. But before that, the Lord was asking me, what if you were to die tomorrow? And it hit me how fragile life is. And the Lord gave me a scripture in James 4, verse 13 to 16. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town, we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. And this part really stands out. As it is, mine's slightly different. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. And through this, the Lord basically just showed me how prideful I was in how I live my life. It says, your life is like the morning fog. Here a little while and it's gone. And the Lord kind of just in that moment also showed me how big he is. I don't know if you guys, I should have given the photo, but there's a photo called the Pale Blue Dot. And it was taken from Venus. It's like 4 billion miles away. And it's a beautiful photo because it's literally, it's just black. There's a ray of sunshine. And then in that ray, there's a tiny little speck. And that speck is planet Earth. And, that's 4 billion miles away, which takes light 6 hours to get to. Our universe, as we see it, is 93 billion light years across. And our God spoke that into being. And just like as we were driving, so I was just in the back of the bus thinking about all of this. And I just realized how small I am. That God, who literally spoke this entire universe into being, in a day, mind you, just one time, just boom, there's everything. Then on this little planet, made of mostly dirt, he takes some dust, forms it into a man, and breathes life into him. Like, we are dust living on a speck of dust. In my mind, the fact that God even knows where Earth is a miracle. Like, honestly. Because in the context of the universe, we are so small. And then it's like your life is like the morning fog. Here one moment, gone the next. Like, God is so much bigger, and his ways are so much higher than us. And then I had the pride to, when the Lord asked me this question of if I were to die tomorrow, me, little pile of dust on a speck of dust, goes to God, that would be unfair. If I were to die tomorrow, that would be unfair and unjust. And the Lord hit me with a, who are you to say that to me? Your life is a fog. Morning fog, sometimes you have in Cape Town, it's there for like an hour and then gone. Wouldn't even know it was there. And like the Lord just kind of whacked me with this one. David says it beautifully in Psalm 8, verse 3 to 4. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? And it's like, who are we that God even thinks about us, let alone care about us or give his son to die for us? And through this, the Lord just was like, your life is not your own. We were bought with a price. And then he hits me with Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. And even though this passage is talking in the context of like sexual immorality, it says it just as it is, basically. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? So firstly, God gave us this body. So it's not ours. He made it for us. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in our bodies. And it's like, this life is not ours to live. This life isn't for us to make my little plans. And my little, I want to get married, then I want to have kids, then I want to do this thing, and then on the side, maybe do good things for the Lord. Because that's where I was at. Like, when the Lord was asking me these questions, I was like, no, Lord, I can't die tomorrow, because, I want to have kids, I want to get married, do things for the Lord. I want to go to Italy and like look at mountains and stuff because it's beautiful. Like, this was my list of reasons of why I couldn't die. It's like, Lord, how dare you interrupt my little plans here? And it's like, who am I to make plans for my life? Because it's not my life. My life is His. Paul says it in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And it's like, when we make these plans, James says it perfectly, like you're boasting in your plans. Because you're basically saying, this life is mine to control, and my life to choose what I do or what I don't do. The Lord really revealed to me how prideful I was. Because even though I was in a Bible school doing things for the Lord, like we were having kids get saved on these outreach, we were seeing healings done, financial breakthroughs. Like, there was so much faith building God stuff. And yet, the Lord showed me actually I was doing it for me. That even though I was in like a form of ministry and doing things, as I said, for Jesus, I was actually doing it for me because I wanted to do ministry, and ministry is like the right thing to do. And like, I'd basically hijacked what the Lord had said to me in doing ministry and made it my thing and be like, nah, this is my life because I want to do ministry and I want to maybe lead that church one day and do this thing. And my life isn't my plaything that I get to pick and choose where the pieces go. It's the Lord's. And so I was just deeply convicted on how prideful I was at this point. I sat there for hours and I was just thinking on these things and thinking, and the Lord was just giving me these scriptures. And the conclusion I just came to was, as it says we should in the Bible, my life isn't mine. Whether I live or die isn't my choice at the end of the day. I don't know when I'm going to die. I could walk out and get hit by a bus, and the Lord would be in His rights to do that to me. So whether I live or die, I have no say in the matter. But the fact that you are alive is so encouraging because it means the Lord still has work for you to do. The only reason you're alive is because you've still got stuff He wants you to do. I mean, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were made with good works to do. And so the fact that you're alive means you still have good works ahead of you to do. The day I die is the day I've finished my good works, hopefully. And if not, when I reach that day and I've done all the Lord set out for me, then I can die, and then He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so the fact that you're alive and breathing today means the Lord wants to use you. So if you ever feel like, yo, Lord, you can't use me. I don't know the Bible super well, or I'm not that prophetic, or take a breath. The fact the Lord gave you that breath means you're here to do something, and the Lord can use you. Like, that's all it is. The fact that you are breathing and living is the Lord saying, I've still got stuff for you to do, my child. Like, the Lord is the one who sustains us. He's the one who gives us breath. I mean, there's a scripture in Isaiah which talks about how the Lord is the one who carries us to gray hairs. So if you have gray hairs, be like, thank you, Jesus, that I have these gray hairs, because you're the one who gave them to me and giving me a long life. So, I mean, I can't wait to get old. Every year I'm like, yes, 22 now. This is great. I can't wait. The day I hit 30, that's going to be my big celebration, you know? People are like, no, 30, it's got to be muted. I'm like, no, I'm throwing the big party because I made it for 30 years, and that's only because of His mercy for me that I made it to 30 years. And so don't make fun of the old people. Because, no, genuinely, this is like a conviction I have. Don't make fun of them. Because the Lord is merciful to give them such long life. And as a young person, that isn't guaranteed for us. So, because, I mean, we live our lives as if we're going to live to 80. Like, we all do it. Like, I've been like, hey, I'll retire by 60, then I get 20 years of like a chill. And I'm planning as if I know I'm going to die when I'm 18. I have no cooking clue when I'm going to die. And I was 18 years old, first year out of high school, and I was this close to death. I was I like to say I went on a coffee date with death. And it's like, you know, I was close. I was getting to know her, but I turned her down. Don't worry. I'm still here. And it's like, we don't know when our time is up. So don't live as if you know when you're going to die. Because we really don't. Like, no one could have expected that I would have had cancer at 18. Like, it's not in the family. It's not hereditary. Literally, one of my cells in the billions that I have decided to go, let's not do the instructions that I have. Just one cell, all it took, went tweak. And a month later, I'm nearly dying. Like, guys, our lives are super fragile. We're super tough, but we're also super fragile. And so don't live with the mindset of, oh, it's fine if I don't invite that person to church this week because I can just do it next week. You don't know that. That person might not be here next week. You might not be here next week. So don't live as if we have time to do it later, because there's a good chance that we don't. And this is before we even consider the fact that Jesus could rock up tomorrow. Like, this is just one half of the story. And so, every day when you wake up, as like when I was really sick, my mom had a saying to encourage me of like, each day as it comes. Like, just one day at a time. That's all you got to do. Just live for today, live it well, and then we'll see what happens tomorrow. And every day I'd wake up and be like, Lord, thank you that I'm alive today. Thank you that I can kind of walk. There were days where I was just in bed for the whole day because I could barely move, or I was just throwing up so much that I couldn't do anything else. And on the days where I was just strong enough, we'd go for a walk. We're in Musenberg and we'd walk to the beach. And I was just, like, I just had so much gratitude for being able to do the smallest of things, to walk to the shops, to eat nice food. Because for a long time, I couldn't eat nice food. Genuinely, like, I had to eat, like, everything was boiled or very, very cooked so that there was no bacteria. Like, I didn't have biltong for 8 months. That was hard, guys. And so it's like, when I finally ate that, I was like, thank you, Jesus, that I can enjoy these things. And it's like, yeah. And so even now, I try, every day when I wake up, I try, be like, thank you, Lord, that you made me wake up this morning. Because it was your choice to keep me alive. And Peter, 1 Peter puts it quite well in 4 verse 1 to 2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves therefore with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, as in the rest of my days as a human being, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Are we living for him, or are we actually living for ourselves? And so the question the Lord often asks me is, who are you actually living for? Are you living for God and his will for your life? Or is it, I'm living my life with God on the side when it's sometimes convenient and it actually kind of lines up with my plans? Who are you living for? Because again, the reason you woke up today is because he has things for you to do. He has people he wants you to reach. People he wants you to love on, to pray for, to encourage, to get saved. Like, guys, that's why we're here. Make the circle bigger. Inviting people to church. Like, you know, the Lord convicted me of this the other day, where it's like, if my life isn't my own, why do I always try and preserve it whenever it comes to, like, sharing the gospel or something? Because I'm going, it's uncomfortable for me to talk to this person or awkward to invite them to church. Therefore, let me not do it because I'm then uncomfortable. That's living for yourself. That's living for my life, because then I'm keeping my life nice and comfortable, and then I don't have to awkwardly get rejected or something. And it's like, no, if my life is Jesus, I forget about what I care about, and I ask this person, and I tell them anyway, because Jesus wants them to be saved. And even in that, like, I was so convicted as I'm driving. I'm like trying not to cry here, and like, oh, my word, Lord, why now? But it's like, I realized like how much I preserve my life. And the Lord just reminded me again, It's not your life. It's his life. And we must be willing to do whatever he asked us to do. And if you love the Lord, you will obey him. And so, yeah, again, who are we living for? And so, yeah, as this journey went on the last 3 years, it was these truths that carried me through. Every time when I was sick of my life, there were many times I prayed, Lord, would you just take me to heaven now? I'm done. I'm tired of this. You can take me. It was a good run. And he didn't. He didn't take me. Because he's like, no, I've still got plans for you to do. And so, like, these truths are what made me be able to endure this for 3 years. Every time it got rough, I was like, okay, Lord, I know you're with me, and I know that you have plans for me. You have me here for a purpose. You have me here for things to do. Give me the strength to do it. And he's right there with us the entire way. And so I want to encourage you, like, know when the Lord asks you to do that difficult thing, he's there doing it with you. And we're never on our own. We're never like, okay, cool, I prepped you. I'll check back in like 6 months to see how you're doing with that cancer thing there. No, he is there every single step of the way. And yeah, no matter how bad it got, I knew the Lord is with me. I actually have nothing to fear. And the only reason that any of this is even possible is because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because he died and gave himself up for me, a sinner, who does not deserve any of this. Like, the Lord really didn't have to prepare me. Like, he could have just left me to it and let it come out of nowhere. But in his grace and his mercy, he was like, no, let me give you these prophetic words. Let me train you. Let me get you ready for the fight that's about to happen. Like, even just like every time the Lord speaks to you, think of how merciful he's being to you in that moment. That the God of the universe would take the time to speak to you, his child. Because at the end of the day, God doesn't see us as just a speck of dust on a speck of dust somewhere in the galaxy. He sees you as his child, sons and daughters of the King Most High. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm a prince of God. Why am I stressing about anything? Yeah.